This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Come into social media and way more of a spotlight than that group could have ever dreamed of 20 some odd years later.
Oh, we are in the most self-aware era we've ever lived in. Like, you have to be, especially even in our situation, we're constantly on camera. We got to be self-aware of how we're reacting to certain things because it could be misconstrued, or, hey, you're laughing at a serious thing, or maybe you might have not even been that. Someone was in your ear saying something, you weren't paying attention. So absolutely, you have to be so self-aware in today's day and age. And it was kind of refreshing, to your point, just hearing Tim speak so frankly about it. And that's why I do like players that do just, again, if you don't respect him or you don't like what he has to say, or if he's like Draymond Green, he will say it. Now, it's not always the right thing, but he'll talk, he'll speak on it. Maybe it's not the right time to talk, or just, you know, I go back to, you know, the podcast, yeah, Baron Davis. I don't know if you heard any of it after the Jordan Poole saga. You know, Jordan Poole came back and Jordan Poole has basically said, he's like, yeah, you know, I miss those guys over there. Well, I miss some of those guys over there. So take that for what it's worth. Never said his name. Draymond did a whole hour on it responding, and basically, and Draymond did say there's a get over it, basically, he told Jordan Poole. I was like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have said that, considering, you know, everything that took place, and you were the guy that threw the punch. I say all that to say, you know, I don't take that for granted, though, Draymond speaking his mind, because no one does that anymore. Like, you know, LeBron says some, like, or tweets some cryptic things every now and then. I guess he took a shot at Doug Gottlieb yesterday on Twitter, because Doug Gottlieb's taking shots at Bronny. So, like, you'll get that occasionally, and again, Bron, he's had the spotlight on him since he was 17.
Yeah.
So he's always had to watch what he said. Again, I'm not here to turn this into a LeBron James segment. And Steph Curry falls in this boat too. Like, these guys that have microscopes on them constantly from what time they're in college in Steph's case or high school in LeBron's case, they have to watch what they're doing constantly because they're going to be judged for it because they are going to be faces of the league. LeBron was one of the faces of the league since he was 18 years old. He couldn't afford to, you know, have a slip up here and there, or you know, have get caught with weed, or I don't know, Jimmy Garoppolo going out with a porn star. Like, you don't have that. Like, you can't do that if you were LeBron. He had to be above everything else. And we want to crush the guy because he went to, you know, he had the Boys and Girls Club and raised donations for them because he wanted to do the decision on TV. And that's what we're going to get mad at him for, I guess, if you wanted to say he was self-serving there. Sure, but he's doing it for charity. So, like, I get, like, to your point, we are in an era where people can't be themselves anymore. And I've found it refreshing hearing from Tim there. Absolutely. And we're going to hear it from Jimmy in some post games as well. He'll speak his mind, absolutely.
That's where I think, Spadone, it's an interesting point because that's where I think Jimmy is really going to fit in and ingratiate himself to such a huge and loyal fan base out here. He is himself. He is the guy that he appears to be. What I think is interesting in all of these conversations, after listening to Tim right now talk to us for a few minutes about what he thinks about everything that's going on, in seeing the way Jimmy has come and played early on the floor within the group, the Warriors love to sell the organization. They put their players out front in that spotlight more so, in my experience, than any other NBA team there is. That was really something to behold while they were winning title after title and still doing all the things that they do. Jimmy again over time, he can charm the pants off anybody. He knows exactly what he's saying and doing, but you aren't going to make Jimmy run and do interview after interview after interview. Nobody is going to tell Jimmy Butler what to do if he doesn't want to do it. So while, again, the honeymoon period is in full force and everybody's feeling great, as they should because it's looked great, what I'm interested in from my perspective is how do things go when it doesn't really run smoothly? What happens at that point, especially in the context of Jimmy's an honest guy, Jimmy does what he wants, the Warriors have a way in which they like to do things, and how does that marriage work as the time goes on?
No, it's a great point, and it makes me think back to, you know, Pat Riley, and obviously this is what Pat Riley had to say last year when Jimmy Butler didn't play in the first round, didn't play for the Miami Heat in the playoffs, was dealing with an ankle or a knee injury, one of them. And, you know, Jimmy was talking his top. He was yapping his gums. It was against the Knicks, right? Or to the Knicks players. Like, oh, if I was
Josh Hart.
Josh Hart, thank you. Hey, if I was out there, you know, we'd be kicking your ass. Yeah, great. This is what Pat Riley had to say last May about Jimmy Butler.
You know, for him to say that, you know, I thought, is that Jimmy trolling or is that Jimmy serious, you know? If you're not on the court playing against Boston or on the court playing against the New York Knicks, you should keep your mouth shut in your criticism of those teams.
I don't see Mike Dunleavy saying that. I don't see Joe Lacob saying that. I don't see Steve Kerr saying anything like that. Pat Riley has a level of gravitas within that organization. He is the Miami Heat. He can do that. He has the power to do that. Mike Dunleavy's definitely not doing that. I don't foresee that this situation, the same situation occurred with Miami here at Golden State, maybe Draymond. But Draymond can't be one to say, is like, hey, you're doing all that talking, because Draymond, that's all he does, right? In that case, it would be hilarious to see the fallout after that if Draymond takes a shot at Jimmy. I would love just, again, chaos. I root for chaos. That when the team does well, we do well as a station. I also love chaos. So that'd be great for me and for the business. I just have a hard time seeing the Jimmy Butler stuff happening in Miami happening over here.
Spadone, the difference is Dunleavy, Joe Lacob, Steve Kerr, they might say some of the same things, but they would say them in private.
Yeah, they're not saying it, yes.
They are not going to sit on a podium at a microphone like Riley did and say what they say publicly. That is what seemed to exacerbate this whole thing. Although, and go back to the Odyssey app to listen to that interview that Tim said. What I thought was so telling is he's sitting there saying Jimmy is great at what he does, and Riley is going to be the same way that he always is, and that style still can work in the league. There were so many different aspects to what Tim was saying, and he was telling us, but I think that is a huge part of it. If you have earned the right to run an organization the way Riley has run the Heat, to say what you want, hey, that's your style, that's what benefits you. The Warriors like to put their players in the spotlight and like to sell their product, but they don't do it in the same fashion. In the short term, I think it's really going to be a refreshing change for Jimmy. And I would say this too, Spadone, I think it's crucial. There was so much talk about Kevin Durant coming back. How would the reunion look? What would it be like? And then it comes out, Kevin saying, now is not the right time. The thing that really benefits the Warriors right now is this is a brand new fresh start for Jimmy Butler. This is not some reunion where we know what the great part of this can look like if everything works with KD and Steph and Draymond. There's not that, the freshness wouldn't be there if that had been the move. There is a freshness now with Jimmy learning the Warriors and the Warriors learning Jimmy. And especially for Jimmy, with all the issues that he's had in previous stops, he is going to be on his absolute best basketball behavior.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. You're very fascinated to see how this whole thing comes to fruition with Jimmy Butler in Golden State. How's Jonathan Kuminga going to fit into all this? Well, Chuck in Palo Alto has some thoughts on Jonathan Kuminga. What's up, Chuck? You're on with Spadone and Friedel. It's the Morning Roast.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. So I foresee Kuminga not working with Butler. And then what might happen this summer is if there's a sign and trade, I wonder if they would entertain bringing back Wiggins, swapping Wiggins for Kuminga, because Butler has said that Wiggins was the best player that he played with. So I can see that combination of four winning a title in the next 2 years. Thanks.
That's Chuck in Palo Alto. You foresee a sign-in trade, Andrew Wiggins back to the Bay, sending Jonathan Kuminga to Miami?
With the way things have played out, I don't see the Warriors giving up on Kuminga. Joe Lacob has said as much to The Athletic, to Slater. We love him. We're going to do our best to make it work. What is interesting in Chuck's call there, Spadone, is do I think that Wiggins may potentially be back here depending on how things shake out? I think there's a chance, but there's so much money involved, and that's what makes the next year or two so fascinating. The question I've been thinking about in the last couple days, and we will continue to get to in the next couple, what happens if we all agree that the Jimmy move has worked and everybody's feeling good about themselves and has breathed life into the organization? What happens if they get to the playoffs, as Tim just told us he thinks they'll, you know, be around six if they keep winning and miss the play-in? What happens if they lose in the first round? It's not that they can't improve this summer, because, again, Kuminga is at the forefront of any conversation of the Warriors' future. But what then becomes the move? Because this ties into the salary cap ramifications. This team moving forward is Steph, Draymond, Jimmy Butler, potentially Kuminga, and a bunch of other... Maybe not the random pieces, but other players that kind of fill roles.
Quentin Post and
cap slots.
Exactly. Quentin Post, Gui Santos, you know, Moody's obviously signed. So you got Moses Moody, who's actually been playing pretty well this year. I want to give Moody his flowers. Pajemski, obviously, still a part of that. Very fascinating. Like, I'm trying to think of a series in the first round. Like, if they lose to the Nuggets, which
they very well
they very
could.
Well could lose to the Nuggets. Jamal Murray's been eight in a row, been much better. If you get the Jamal Murray we saw in that championship run, I think Nuggets can win the whole damn thing. I think that highly of them, and I think highly of Michael Malone. Don't call him Mike. Michael Malone.
Thank you.
Yes, and Nikola Jokic, who wants to just go home with his horses, and that's enough motivation for him to try to win another title, is just go home to Serbia. So if they lose to the Nuggets in the first round, let's say six games, but Jimmy looks good, Steph looks good, you know, Draymond looks good, but Nuggets just look better. Their role players are a little bit better. You know, Jokic is unstoppable, Jamal Murray hits some big shots, and let's say Aaron Gordon's like the difference. And Kuminga's just okay. Then I think you have some conversations this summer where it's like, all right, well, we just went up against the best in the West potentially, and let's say the Nuggets go on, I don't know, Western Conference Finals, but you went up against the best in the West, and you were still not good enough. You got to have some hard conversations. You know the core three that you're keeping. Kuminga does become that guy, and we'll get into it on the other side because they're up against it. Kuminga's future with Golden State is what at this point? 888-957-9570. It's Spadoni. It's Friedel. It's one more segment on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Kerr enjoying some much-needed time off. Spadoni and Friedel in all week. Cousin Nick Friedel crushing it, per usual. We had Tim Hardaway on. We had Frank Isola on. Missed either of those interviews early on. Download the Odyssey app. And favorite 95.7 The Game. You're going to want to do that also, because if you do that, you qualify for a chance to go to Las Vegas. That's right. The Slam Dunk in Vegas contest is going on right now. We're going to be giving away travel and accommodations for four. So that's a winner and three guests to Las Vegas and $20,000. You'll be staying at Circa, the premier sports viewing destination in downtown Las Vegas. Circa also has the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. It's the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the College Basketball Championship. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app now, log in, and listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. And this is a national contest. So again, download the Odyssey app. And you can win 20K and go to Vegas. What would you do right now? If you could have one bet, I like doing this, one bet, you're going to Vegas, you can make $20,000 on one, it's got to be sports related, okay? One sports bet, what are you doing? 20K. Putting it on what?
I want to say the Cubs to win the NL Central, but I don't
believe
it. Oh, my
God. That might have been the worst take you've had all week. Cubs winning the NL Central?
I don't believe it strongly enough. If I had to put 20K on one bet, it would be for the Celtics to repeat this year.
Really?
Yeah.
That highly of the Celtics, huh?
I think.
You're saying the Cavs are phony?
I don't. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yes.
Dude, don't talk about my boy Kenny Atkinson like that. He's crushing it. Future coach of the year.
Kenny's been great there. I just don't buy that a team that has never gotten to that point, to that stage, in one fell swoop can go from that level to a whole different place. I think Donovan Mitchell's really good. I'm just not putting him into... And as I say this, I realize that a team that did this is the Warriors in 2014-15. Why did they do that? They had Steph Curry, a generational star. Donovan Mitchell's really good. I don't think he is that good. I think Boston still, with Tatum, with Jaylen Brown, with the way that they've responded to what Missoula has kind of put them through over the last couple of years, that would be my 20K bet.
Okay, so to go back-to-back, I'm looking at the Eastern Conference, so we're going to get back into Jonathan Kuminga and his fit with the Warriors as hopefully he returns. He's going to be reevaluated this week, and hopefully everything comes to fruition, and then he could be day-to-day, then he's practicing, and then he's back. So we shall see. But I'm looking at the Eastern Conference right now, so the Cavs and the Celtics. They got the Knicks, who made all those big trades, Nick, in the offseason, and they're good. They're 36-18, but the fear factor of them is just not there for me. I saw them, you know, it was actually the night of the Luka trade. They were on primetime against the Lakers that day.
Yeah.
And Max Christie and Austin Reeves and LeBron, it was no AD. And it was no problem for them. They won the game. And I was looking at myself, I was like, the Knicks aren't contenders. And I'm a big Tom Thibodeau defender because he gets the most out of his players. He'll grind, like you say, oh, he grinds them into the ground. I was like, no, he demands a lot from his players. And it's actually good to see players playing both ends of the floor. Like, I love how he's maximized a Josh Hart, who's got, I don't know, like a handful of triple-doubles this year. Josh freaking Hart, right? Who saw that when he was on the Lakers or on the Pelicans? No one. And listen, I thought the Mikal Bridges trade, I thought, like, everyone, like, wow. And then you got Jalen Brunson taking a pay cut? What a leader, right? You got Julius Randle out of there. You bring out Karl Anthony Towns. It's like, wow, this is something. This is great. But I just don't fear them. I don't.
They don't have the second guy, especially offensively, Spadone. Jalen Brunson has been awesome, and he's shown in different playoff series what he can do. I think anybody would tell you, though, if you're going to win a title, you need, on some level, an absolute basketball killer to take games over and to just dominate when you need that person to do it. The Warriors had two of them. They had Steph, and still have Steph, and they had KD when he was here. You hand them the ball, go score, make it happen. It's why I'm with you on the Knicks. Tibbs squeezes everything out of every team. It's like Tibbs is the ultimate coach who can squeeze the toothpaste all the way from the bottom, all the way out through, and the season ends, and the thing is just completely empty.
Yes.
Now, his critics will say, yeah, his team always runs out of gas. Okay, I mean, that's undeniable on some level, but he gets them to that point. My issue with the Knicks looking ahead to the playoffs is they've got a lot of talent, but they're not a team that you look at and go, oh, this team strikes fear into my heart late in playoff games because of all the options they have offensively. Towns is great in the regular season. Towns is still not a guy I'm counting on game after game in the playoffs. Josh Hart, really, really solid player. Is Josh Hart going to have the type of game where you go, oh, he lit it up on the offensive end? No. Bridges, great shooter at times. We saw it in Phoenix, a little bit in Brooklyn. Is he that kind of game changer, though? No.
I think a lot of people thought he was going to be that, though, when they traded for him. I thought it was a good move. I like the stock was rising, right?
Yeah.
And now it's...
The contract is very good, too. The
contract is very good. And then you see, you know, the Celtics, they're stacked. Like, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, like, I don't know if there's a better duo in NBA right now between those guys. They're incredible. And then the Cavs, I think we're all waiting for the slipper to drop in the playoffs, and we'll see. Maybe they do something. Maybe they absolutely destroyed the Warriors both times they played them this year.
Yeah.
So, which, again, the Warriors have gotten blown out a lot this season. We're in the Jimmy Butler era now, so we'll see. We haven't seen them.
Yeah, nothing else matters now.
Exactly. It's different. We're 3-1. Focus the positives, right? And then you got the Pacers. You know, Halliburton's kind of had a so-so year. The Bucks, everyone's still waiting. Then Giannis, you know, we'll see. And that's a guy. If they flame out again this year, the Bucks, like, could Giannis be on his way out? Like, we're not talking about that. Should we be talking about that? Right?
Oh, here we go.
Are you falling asleep again to that? Is that
here we go again.
Not to the Golden State Warriors, because they've already made that. I don't think they can afford him, can they? Can they even get Giannis?
I mean,
I'm asking you right now, could they?
Don't tempt Joe Lacob to to find a way to make some other money.
Sure.
Pathway work.
Sign and trade Kuminga to Milwaukee?
Kuminga and every pick for the next, you know, 10, 15 years, and Draymond. I mean, that's the real question on top of where do we go with Kuminga in the framework of the organization. It's what happens if that next star appears. Would Draymond potentially be someone that would be vulnerable? Because his name started to kind of leak out there in... The KD chatter.
I wasn't buying any of that. You know, Ishbia went to Michigan State, and him and Draymond, because their spark is like, please.
Spadone, the key to me is, if you believe in the Warriors, you believe, okay, Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy will bring the best out of each other, and we'll get whatever they have left. What kind of player are you expecting Kuminga to become in the next couple years?
I would hope, like, the hope is he's an all-star. Everyone hopes that, right? I mean, we had the owner last summer saying Brandon Podziemski's a future all-star, and Pods has struggled mightily this season. He's picked it up recently after the injury. It's been positive, right? He's looking like more of the Podziemski we saw last year. But that's so much in anyone. It's so hard to be an all-star. Andrew Wiggins, I think, is tremendously more talented than the likes of a Brandon Podziemski. He's only going to be a one-time all-star probably for the rest of his career. Oh, and even... Again, comparing just athleticism to Kuminga and Wiggins, Wiggins was that guy. He was the number one overall pick coming out of Kansas. He was supposed to be the next LeBron, people were calling him, right? He never lived up to that hype. Not to say he was a bad player, he just never lived up to being the number one overall pick, which is okay. For Jonathan Kuminga, who was a top 10 pick, he was very raw. Everyone knew that coming out.
Mm-hmm.
G League Ignite, very raw. I remember we had a couple of the ESPN guys, Jay Billis said, hey, this guy has the ability to be an all-star maybe, just given his total package around him. But he needs to learn how to play basketball consistently still. Again, we're talking about Giannis. That was another guy like that. Like, he didn't have a jump shot. He didn't have any of that. But he was just such a physical freak. You saw once he filled into his body what it could be. And we're seeing that with Kuminga now. I said this on the call last night, and I don't think this would be bad for the Warriors. If he's a perennial sixth man of the year candidate for them, coming off the bench, and could be, you know, in the closing lineups, not quite Iguodala, right? Because Iguodala, I think, was still, you know, he was going up against the likes of LeBron. And I think Kuminga could be a better overall scorer than Iguodala. And Iguodala, he's a whole Hall of Famer. I mean, his jersey's getting retired Sunday. He's very good. But if he can be that super sixth man for them, spot starter, closer for them, can he be that guy? Manu Ginobili strong. I mean, he's one of the greatest players of all time, right? Like, but can he do that? And Ginobili was what, like a one or two time All-Star?
Yeah.
I'm looking at that. Like, that would be great. That would be awesome. As a sixth man, what are you paying that, right? Are you still paying that 180, 190? Goes back to the salary, the television money. So that's where I see him. Where would you kind of put him in if I'm saying if he's a sixth man of the year candidate? Like, that's not a slight to him, I don't think.
It might be a slight to where he wants to be, though. And that therein lies the rub for the Warriors and how all of this fits. Because the player and the organization have to be on the same page as to where that player's future wants him to be. He's got to be not only good for the team's needs, but he's got to say, all right, I don't want to be the sixth man. I want to be the go-to guy or one of two or three go-to guys within the group. Spadone, what's so fascinating to me about the Kuminga conversation is that there is a very distinct parallel between where Kuminga is right now and where Jimmy Butler was coming out of his first rookie deal in Chicago. When you go back to that time, and I lived it every day, Jimmy went from being the 12th guy on the roster, where I don't think even in the beginning, Kuminga wasn't playing, but nobody was like, oh, he's, you know, the worst player on the team. Yeah. Jimmy literally went from the 12th guy on that team to a kind of super sub, six man, what like we were describing, then to a starter, then to a guy who won the most improved award, became an all-star. All these things started to happen pretty quickly for him over the next couple of years. But what strikes me as we're trying to decipher what happens in the Kuminga situation is, if you go back in time, and now this is like 10, 12 years ago, the Bulls offered Jimmy, after his rookie contract was set to expire, 4 years, about $44 million. Jimmy and his agent at the time, Happy Waters, wanted four for 48. And the Bulls
Happy
said...
Happy Waters is his name?
Yeah.
It's a great name. Continue.
And the Bulls came back and said, look, we're not going to give you that right now, but we want to see Jimmy prove it on the floor. We want him to show us, hey, he's worth the money. Jimmy, to his credit, went out and absolutely dominated. Mm. He dominated that next year, became an all-star, really lifted his spot on the team within the hierarchy of the group. He goes out the next year and he gets a max. And the Bulls paid it. And instead of fitting him in the slot at $11-12 million a year, now they were paying double that, and it changed how their salary cap structure would work. What I think is another interesting parallel is, at the time, it was like, you're going to pay Jimmy Butler, who hadn't proven that much at that point, 4 years, about $44 million. Are you kidding me? Really? And people thought, well, at least in the organization, the mechanics of how you look at the number are going to change because all the TV money was coming into what was happening in the NBA's future. Again, that was 10 or 12 years ago. Now they got all these deals worth $76 billion because of the 11-year deal with ESPN and Amazon and all NBC, the different streamers. So I think when it comes to Kuminga, the price point that you look at right now and how you feel about whatever the number lands on is not going to be the same as the price point you look at for different players 3 or 4 years from now. So if he continues to improve, there's a very good chance that it could be a bargain, just like it was or would have been if the Bulls had just said, all right, Jimmy, we'll give you your $48 million over 4 years. with Chicago as it is with Golden State, though, you have to trust that that young player will continue to improve day after day, game after game. From what I've seen with Kuminga, I think he is a really good player who will improve. What would worry me is once you give him that money, how high is that ceiling? And as we listen to the fan base and what people are seeing from Kuminga when he was healthy, where do they think he is in comparison to where he should be a couple years from now?
Well, Kenny Smith, obviously former NBA champion, obviously inside the NBA, alongside Charles Barkley, Chuck, Shaq, Ernie, all of them. Kenny Smith, ambassador for the game, loves everything. Was this with Vontae? Kenny Smith? Is this the pod he was on? Thumbs up? Cool. So NBC Sports Bay Area joined Vontae Hill, our guy Vontae Hill, who you can see on the show every Friday at 9 o'clock. Kenny Smith on the comp for Jonathan Kuminga, Nick.
Yeah, you know what the funny thing is? We talked about him. He could be a better version of this, and we were talking about this before we started. It's Serge Ibaka. Mm. Like, he could be a better version of that. You know, he could be a shot blocker defender because of his athleticism, run the lane dunker. And what he's at, he can handle the basketball. So he becomes another guy you can pass. So he could be a better version of that what he was for OKC. And that's an all-star. You know, we have to be superstar, but at some point you have all-star talent and you have to play like an all-star.
Serge Ibaka, who had a very good career, he was a champion back with the Toronto Raptors against the Golden State Warriors. 3-time all-defensive first team, 2-time block leader. I don't know if that's what Warriors fans, and again, Serge Ibaka, I think it was a different, he's 6'11", he's huge. Like, it's not, I don't think that's the best comparison, but as he's gone, like, career, he can be a better version of that. I'm not so sure. I don't know, I think I would have him higher than a better Serge Ibaka. Right? I don't buy that one. Are you buying the Serge Ibaka comp at all?
Serge Ibaka was very athletic. He helped those Thunder teams.
Yes.
But the thing that worries me, and I say this to somebody who's followed the Orlando Magic since their inception, they made that trade, remember Spadone, it was like Oladipo and the pick that became Sabonis for Serge Ibaka, thinking he was going to lift them to some different place, and that was a disaster. So at the highest of highs, sure, maybe I see Kenny's point that Serge Ibaka was a difference maker, but I think the Warriors have higher hopes in that they're hopeful that Kuminga can be one of the guys that carries them into that next generation that comes whenever Steph finally does leave and exit the main stage. As far as Kuminga's next couple years, this goes back to the scouting that you put in. This goes back to the trust that he's built, you would think, with many members of the coaching staff, what Mike Dunleavy and Steve Kerr have seen from him. Lacob says the money will be there. His track record shows that there's no reason not to believe him on that. But from what I've seen with Kuminga, I would be more comfortable putting him in that trade, whether it was this summer in some kind of sign-and-trade deal, maybe a year from now, and getting a piece who is ready-made to fit this group for this last run. I don't know, and we will see, which makes the next 2 months so interesting for Warriors fans, how he fits with the rest of this group. I just don't know if it'll happen.
And I think Warrior fans want it to happen so bad, and I get it because of the youth factor. Like, this is a young guy, and if he can show it, and then you got a young piece after Steph. Not to say he is going to be Steph, because no one's going to be Steph. I don't think anyone's out here saying he's going to be a number one on a championship team. But if he could be a number two or a three, potentially, that's a starting point then as opposed to nothing. Then you're left with no draft picks. You give up all your capital. Not to say that they're going to do that. But if you're bringing another piece and you're moving on from Kuminga, I would have a very hard time, you know, as a fan dealing with that. Because, again, as we've learned, here in the Bay specifically, when you draft a player and it's your guy, it's different than, you know, a free agent coming over. As we're celebrating Andre Iguodala on Sunday again, he was, you know, a trade acquisition, a trade piece. And, you know, you look at, you know, Andrew Wiggins, he was loved, but, you know, there's levels to this. There's a reason why Steph, Dre, and Clay Those guys are so loved. You go back to the Giants and the Matt Canes of the world, right? Not Hall of Famers, but very good players, and why they're so loved here in the Bay Area. You know, go to Patrick Marleau, if you want to go to Sharks analogy, sure. So I really think Warriors fans want this to work, but I'm with you. It's kind of a tryout period now for these next 2 months for Jonathan Kuminga. Jimmy Butler's got paid. He's staying. He's set in stone. This is going to be the Kuminga show going forward. And the most approved, right? We play Stephen A. Smith. He thinks the Warriors are the team with the most approved. We're just going on the roster, the most approved these last 2 months. I think it's easily Jonathan Kuminga, right?
I would take that a step further, Spadone, because I agree with you. And we played that Stephen A. sound, and his point was, well, the Warriors made this move for Jimmy, and let's see what happens.
Let's play it again real quick for the audience. If they missed it, Stephen A. Smith, first take this morning on the team with the most approved in the NBA.
Listen, when you talk about the most approved, I would say the Golden State Warriors because Draymond Green just opened his mouth. I'm not offended. I'm not put off by it by any stretch of the imagination. I love the fact that he did it. He's made the latter part of this season, the last 27 games, very, very interesting because Jimmy Butler has been a welcomed addition. The 3-1 in the 4 games that he's been there, he's gotten to the free throw line 40 times. And people don't recognize when you think about Steph Curry and who he is. It ain't just his marksmanship. It's the fact that you need an oxygen mask. You probably got to be hospitalized and get some IV fluids or whatever, you know, after games because this brother got you running around with your head on a swivel and you need to survive after you finish up with him. Well, getting Jimmy Butler energizes Steph Curry because Jimmy Butler stops the action because he's so skilled to get to the free throw line. So that buys Steph Curry some rest to re-energize himself and do what he's capable of doing.
So that's Stephen A. Smith, first take this morning, and then we're doing it a more micro view. He's saying the Warriors, okay, who on the Warriors specifically? Is it Steph? Is it Jimmy? Is it Draymond? Is it Jonathan Kuminga? Who has the most to prove in these next 27 games of the regular season for the Golden State Warriors? 888-957-9570, Nick Friedell.
A different wrinkle to the same question, Spadone, is who has the most pressure on them? And I think...
Love pressure.
Unquestionably. R.I.P. David Bowie. Unquestionably, the person with the most pressure, and I would also say the person with the most to prove, is Jonathan Kuminga. I know people will look at the Jimmy contract and the deal and say, oh, he forced his way out of Miami. He's on this team now. He's got to prove that he belongs. Again, this is where I go back to the legacies here are secured. Jimmy Butler is going to the Hall of Fame. Draymond Green is going to the Hall of Fame. Steph Curry is one of the single greatest basketball players we've ever seen. Jonathan Kuminga is a young player who has shown flashes of being very, very good, who wants that next big contract. How do you earn the next big contract in the NBA? You go out and you play at the same great level every single night. Jimmy Butler got paid, Spadone. Draymond got his deal. He's still got a couple more years left after this one, and Steph is Steph. The person with the most to prove and the person with the most pressure on them on this roster, to me, is very clear. It's Jonathan Kuminga.
Frank Isola is still skeptical. Frankie Ice joined us 720. If you missed that, Odyssey app, hit the rewind, or find the entire interview on YouTube. Covers the NBA for a very long time, has done it for a multitude of networks, but currently and has been with ESPN. Here's what he had to say earlier on the Morning Roast in regards to Kuminga's potential.
Kuminga has got a lot of potential, but you kind of keep waiting for it. You see flashes of it, and then, you know, and then all of a sudden he's out for a while. So I don't know. I mean, they're going to be in a position where I think they're probably going to pay him because I think everybody gets paid. And just like the players say, pay me now and then I'll force a trade, or the team say, you know what, let's sign this guy. It might be easy to trade him if he's under contract. So for me, he still has a long way to go until I have faith that he could be a guy that you could build a team around. I'm not so sure about that yet.
I'm not so sure you can build a team around him, but he could be a piece of a team that could do some very good things. And we're going to see that going forward. How big of a piece is he in all this? Because let's say they do get in the first round, right? First round series player, the team doesn't matter. But if I come away from that series and say, hey man, you know, with Steph on the court, with Draymond and Jimmy, you know, if there's ever a point where Jonathan Kuminga is the best Warrior on the court with those guys, that's enough for me to eyebrow raise, like, okay, no, we got to pay this guy. Like, if he shows a flashes in a playoff series, and that's what's so frustrating about all this, and specifically last year, and why it's so maddening, because they lost in a play-in game, and if they could have just had a series, even if they lost to the Thunder, right? Even if they were playing the Thunder in the first-round series, it was such invaluable time for a guy like a Jonathan Kuminga, a Moses Moody, a Pajemski, those young guys. That's why, like, the play-in, like, going one and done, and if that happens again this year, you're losing just so much of that crucial development of these guys in critical and high-pressure situations. So making the playoffs would be huge, obviously, just for the hope of the team, but for Jonathan Kuminga to showcase who he can be in these next few months. And again, we're going to be waiting on word this week, reevaluating that ankle. Clearly very severe, missing 2 months. And where is he going to be at physically? That's another question in all this. Is he going to be the same guy physically? Because he is on the team. I don't even think it's a question. He's the most physically gifted out of any of the players there. It's just not even close to me what he can do with the height, the leap. Hell, Carter was saying he'd like to see him in the dunk contest. Absolutely. Going forward, I'd love to see a guy like Jonathan Kuminga. I think he actually has a decent 3-point shot. He's more of a catch and shoot guy. I don't love him off the dribble, pulling up from it. He can get that jumper whenever he wants. He can rise over everyone. He's big guy, 6'7", 6'8", whatever he is now. There was a rumor, actually, Nick. I don't know if you remember that. They had that fake news rumor a few years back where Jonathan Kuminga over the summer grew like 4 inches. and Iguodala was talking about it, and he was trolling people with it. And I might have thought it was real in the old pregame show at 5 a.m. It's like, well, if the reports are true, well, then the Warriors are a lock for the title. But he didn't grow 4 inches over the summer.
I think
that I know of.
It's funny bringing up Iguodala's name in all this, Spadone, because he saw it firsthand when Kuminga came in, and so much of the question now is, well, what happens with Kuminga and Jimmy, and how does he fit with Steph and Draymond on the floor, and can he make, an, especially offensively, a name for his own self in the moment? If the Warriors don't believe in Kuminga and Joe Lacob isn't ready to give him whatever that contract looks like when the time comes, I'd also say Steph and Draymond probably aren't signing off for him behind the scenes as well. They have such a strong voice in how this organization is made up because they were the ones who helped make this era what it has become. So if Kuminga starts to come into his own on the floor and he is fitting in with Jimmy and that new look that that trade gave everybody, I would think that Steph and Draymond are going to sit there and tell Dunleavy and Joe Lacob, hey guys, this guy, he's coming along just fine. He's going to get even better. So one more time and one more reason, there is a ton of pressure on Kuminga to be what everybody hopes he can be, not only for the Warriors and whatever this next playoff run potentially looks like in the next couple of years, but if it doesn't work here and those guys don't believe in him, he's going to be like, get me out of here. I want to go somewhere else.
I'm going to go off the board here, and I'm not going to go a player who probably has the most approved or most pressure, and most approved probably not for this guy, but pressure for sure. I think it's Steve Kerr, the head coach, figuring out all of these different pieces and how they match up and how they mesh. And, you know, he got a lot of young pieces here. He was relying on guys like Guy Santos, obviously. He's relying on Quentin Post at times, who's shown flashes. He's great. He was a two-way player. He was a G-leaguer at the beginning of the year. He's a second-round pick. He's got size. It's great. But how much are you going to rely on him, you know, going forward when every single game feels like a playoff game? His minutes are going to be reduced. And the minute allocation is going to be fascinating with all this, right? You know, Steph has been playing back-to-backs. Jimmy is going to be playing back-to-backs. You know, Draymond, back-to-backs, and that wear and tear and the usage rate on those guys, not having Jonathan Kuminga around has been tough because they didn't have that additional score. Now they do with Jimmy. And Kuminga can just be a number three scorer, which would be huge for him. At times, he'll probably be a number two because maybe Jimmy doesn't have that night. Who knows? Or he's off. So the minute allocation with all these guys, when to bring Kuminga on. You know, the big question, and as you know, Nick, was when it was Wiggins and Kuminga, those guys on the court together, it just didn't seem to work, right? Whether it was the three, the four, the two, whatever the combination was, and some people cite the numbers, like, actually, so sometimes it was okay. It just didn't work. And that
It didn't look right.
It didn't look right. And I'm very curious to see, because I do think Jimmy's different than Wiggins. Wiggins, I do think, gives you more consistency on the defensive end, just given his legs and his youth in comparison to Jimmy. But Jimmy's bigger. He's a thicker body. He's 30 pounds heavier. I know what I'm going to get. I know he's not going to shoot the three-point shot, but I know he's going to get any shot he wants in the mid-range, and he's going to drive to the hoop, and he's going to get foul calls.
He's going to get to the line anytime he wants.
And Kuminga was doing that before he got hurt, which I do think is another thing in all this, another guy that can drive to the lane and get to the line. And listen, his free throw shooting percentage was increasing, too. Again, it sucks that he got hurt because he was improving there. Wiggins was, too, but not to the extent that you see with Jimmy already and with Kuminga on top of that. All of a sudden, a team that never got to the line, you got two guys that can get there constantly, which would be huge.
And
I don't want to hear any more complaining about Steph not getting calls if those two guys are getting to the line all the time.
And Spadone, it gives balance to an offense that needed it desperately. Because way too often when you watch the Warriors, the offense kind of stalled. They would look around at each other, and then what would they do? It's what any other Warriors team that struggled offensively would do. Number 30, please save us.
Right.
Just find him, and he'll chuck up a shot, and sometimes it'll go down. Everybody will lose their minds, but far too often in the first half this year, it wasn't happening. And that offense just was stale. They needed Jimmy to give them a different look. They're going to need Kuminga to get them to the line and give them another look.
It's way different than having those two guys give you a second or third look than Buddy Hield. Hey, Buddy, you're my number two now. Make some threes like that. Buddy Hield has been put in a position the last few months, quite frankly, he should not have been in. He's been asked to be this number two. And again, he hasn't been helping himself because he has, and Buddy will tell you this, he hasn't been good. He hasn't been making the shots. He's a three-point shooter who's not making his three-point shots.
Except in the three-point contest.
And he came up short there against Tyler Hero. Unfortunately, but to your point, he was making them. He made it interesting. But yeah, that's, again, I cut you off there just to say how desperately they've needed this influx of just physicality and athleticism, because Steph has just been, it's wearing on him mentally and physically at this point. And it's nice to see him rejuvenated.
If you believe in Kuminga, you have to believe that Steph and Draymond and now Jimmy will continue building up a relationship with him. He will listen to them, and he will put in the work he needs to get to that next stage of his career. I think the bet on Kuminga is similar in that regard to the bet they made on Jimmy, because Dunleavy, who was Jimmy's teammate in Chicago, very clearly said, all right, I don't believe you're going to give us all the shenanigans that you did at the way out of every other stop that you've made on your NBA journey. It's different here. This is Steph's show. Draymond is a huge leader in that room. But Kuminga also has to prove that he fits within that group and he can take the instruction from a new guy in Jimmy, who is very strong-willed and wants so desperately for younger guys to put in the work that he feels like he's putting in every day. If those two get along off the floor, it will be good for them on the floor, and it will only make Kuminga's argument to Lacob and the ownership group to say, pay me, that much easier for him when the time comes.
Let's get to the Fast Five, Cardi. You ready for that? I'm going to you right now, quick.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Yes, it is time for our final thoughts of the show. Nick Friedell, brought to you by the Next Generation 10G Network. Only from Xfinity. The future starts now. Real quick, before we get to your final thought, what's the breakfast? What are we doing this breakfast? What are we, this or that? What is it called again? Eat this, not that. What are we eating this morning?
What I have Texas settled Roadhouse? On that is pretty universal no matter where you go in the world, frankly, is eggs, bacon, a piece of wheat toast. If you can hit that and stay routine with that, it gives you the protein that you're looking for. It doesn't fill you up to a point where you can't move and go get that workout in.
Sure.
But those, if you stick to that meal when you're trying to drop some weight, you'll be in pretty good shape.
How are we doing the eggs?
Over easy.
Strong. How are we doing the bacon? Super crispy?
Super crispy.
Is it turkey bacon? See, there's levels to this. That's healthier if you got that option.
I don't like it either,
but I'm saying if you got to be healthy.
I mean, I really don't like it the like one time I ever attempted to try it in my life. But you can't see a lot of places. Maybe out here there are. But
absolutely in San Francisco.
In San Francisco, there's a lot of difference. You know, can I get some turkey bacon with a side of avocado to dip it in? You know, crazy
that
stuff.
Sounds great. That's,
oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. I try to stick with regular bacon. You just can't eat, you know, six pieces.
Got it. And you're going sourdough?
No, I'm going wheat.
Small. Oh, look at
that. That's
wow.
What you have to stick to
look
your guns
at that.
Here.
Give a little give and take there. I'll stick with the pork and the salted meat, but I'll go wheat toast to balance it out. It's like ordering a Big Mac and getting a Diet Coke. Yeah, I feel better about myself. Am I right, Cardi? There you go.
I do that a lot, yeah.
I do that a lot. What do you got? Hey, by the way, the Big Mac should not be the representative of McDonald's. It should be the Quarter Pounder. Far superior burger over there if we're going quality of the meat and the thickness of the patty. Am I right, Carter?
Sure. All right.
Thanks.
I can live with that,
thank
Spadone.
You. Appreciate it. Am I wrong?
My final take of the day, Spadone, is I'm going to push back on something you said earlier. You
dun, dun,
said
dun.
Earlier that Warriors fans would trade that the most important championship to win in the Bay Area would be Steph's fifth ring.
Yeah.
I am going to completely push back on that.
Well, you're wrong.
And I am going to even double down and say I think that fans here would even sacrifice one of KD's rings for the 49ers to win the Super Bowl.
Well, that what well, I feel wait, that wait, way. Wait, wait, hold on. You can't say you sacrifice KD. It's Steph's ring. Don't bring Kevin Durant into this,
oh,
first
boy.
And foremost.
He got the ring, too.
Yeah, well, that means Steph doesn't get a ring if you're sacrificing KD. You're saying you're sacrificing Steph.
I think a lot of people would prefer the 49ers to win the Super Bowl for sure over Steph's fifth ring.
I
but
completely
I even
disagree on that. That's actually 100%. Something we
that might be something
tomorrow.
To get into tomorrow.
Yeah. Sam,
so.
I'm
like that though. We got a talking point for
there we go. Producing the show on air.
Absolutely.
I mean, we have two Raiders fans here. I'm just gonna say it. Two
one
Raiders
and a
fans.
Half.
Well, relax. All right, recovering. Yeah. Continue. Pete Carroll, we trust.
Guys, I'm really worried about America. Okay. They're down a couple skaters in this Four Nations face-off here, and they got a big matchup against Canada on Thursday, and Canada looked really good
what
yesterday.
About Kachuk?
And Team USA, well, it depends on which one.
Which one, man.
One of them might not be available. Matthew Kachuk was not available yesterday.
That's the Florida
so
guy, right?
Hopefully we get him back on the ice on Thursday. But watching Canada yesterday and then watching USA struggle against Sweden, oh, man, those maple syrup lovers up there, they might have something in store for them on Thursday night.
Is Macklin Celebrini playing for Team Canada? Or no,
he was snubbed.
Oh,
disrespectfully snubbed.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, Macklin Celebrini, obviously, the son, Rick Celebrini.
Rick's
he's
son.
He's incredible. Draymond's at a lot of those games, by the way.
That Warriors locker room is beaming.
They love him.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That is a connection for him.
That's pretty cool. Joe Dalton connect with the connection. Let's do another connection tomorrow. This has been fun. 2 days down. Third one tomorrow. Nick Friedell in studio all week. Joe Shasky out in Hawaii. He's living it up. He's getting a nice tan, or a nice redness, I should say, a shade of red. That was Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity at home or on the go. You'll get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Thank you, Nick Friedell, Carter, Sam, Steven. I'm Joe Spadone. Coming up next is Steiny and Guru, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.